ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal! Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Ronaldo!
Romelu Lukaku now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, tonight we are in a bit better place here after the blitz. And, well, thanks to the legendary David Obert. If you're in TV or radio in Houston, you know this broadcast engineer. He's got me up and running again after Tuesday night's Adobe raid on the computer. There's a little bit of panic there on my end, but the man with the level head was the one and only Aaron Raybould, who was smart enough to then throw to a prior interview with Anthony Hudson, the under-20 U.S. national team coach, to buy us some time. I tried to troubleshoot. It didn't work too well. So we had to do a couple of segments via phone, and that sound quality just not quite as good over the phone. Aaron, so thank you for the quick thinking and, as always, the great producing that you do for the show. So thank you for that.
Of course. I mean, it's my job to make sure that at least if the trains aren't running on time, a new train shows up.
There you go. That's the way we go. So then we had Tab Ramos on, and I would love your opinion tonight. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Your opinion about what you've seen so far with the Dynamo and the roster under Tab here in the offseason in his second year, where he's getting a chance to make some moves on his own and bring some of his own people. And, we've had Fafa Pico added to the team. That brings some real pace. So there's a number of things going on. Also, Joe Corona coming in. And we'll talk about another signing that occurred today. So 713-780-3776. Aaron, by the way, I'd love the Sanford and Son outro with Fred and AJ in the Blitz. Whose idea was that?
I mean, it was mine, but we were talking about how it premiered. How many years ago did AJ say? Now the number escapes me.
Oh, that was a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I watched the reruns of that. That was classic. It just was incredible television, incredibly talented people, and so many great characters on that show. I liked Raul, Lamont's friend.
Yeah, today makes 49 years since it premiered.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there was some interesting programming back then. There weren't as many choices, that's for sure. So, anything new in your world? How much James Harden talk was there today?
Oh, a whole lot between yesterday and today. I mean, that's what happens when you're a malcontent and you go and you sit in front of the press and tell them, I don't like my team. There's nothing we can do. I've done everything I can, when you really haven't done anything at all. And then you end up forcing your way out because you threw a fit like a child.
Yeah, it was a bad look.
We did have people kind of questioning when I was perusing the text line yesterday after the show, wondering what he's going to do with his share in the Dynamo. And is he going to sell? Is he going to steal? Because he's also opening up a restaurant at the end of this month here in Houston. Mm-hmm. If the Aisha Curry, who Steph Curry's wife, kind of didn't learn the lesson from that. I don't know if you remember that a few years ago. She was going to open up a barbecue restaurant. And this is when Rockets fans hated the Warriors, hated Steph Curry. So they destroyed it on Yelp before it opened. And then I guess the investors decided to pull out midway through opening this place. I have a feeling the same thing could happen with this new restaurant that James Harden is in on.
Yeah, I'm sure it could. And
I mean, his name attached to it could end up ruining
honestly,
business for those involved.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, honestly. The first restaurant I'm going to is not one with an athlete's name on it. They can be behind the scenes. I don't want their name on it. Is his name going to be on it?
I think it's called 13.
Yeah. Yeah. That's creative. Okay. Anyway, Yeah, I'm sure it was dominated by that talk. I would imagine James Harden just still holds on to his piece of the Houston Dynamo, and Major League Soccer is a good investment. I mean, listen, not right now because of COVID, but it's a decent place to park your money. I don't think there's any question. All right, so that's one thing that I would just say about the James Harden thing is maybe Houston's going to get a more entertaining sort of team type of basketball that could if we talk about the competitive side of things, be a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, because I will tell you that that one-man game is boring. You know, I don't know what they tell people at timeout. Timeout, all right, give it to James. James, if you can't drive, back up and shoot a three-pointer. All right, timeout again. All right, guys, let's change things up. James, you dribble it up the court. If you don't penetrate, back up and shoot. I mean, it's just boring. It's just boring. I think it's a bad product. It's boring.
Well, I
more,
mean,
a little bit more team for me.
And basketball,
I like passing and moving. Passing and movement, you know, not one guy, and it's boring.
I mean, basketball is such a small space compared to soccer, because when I think of something like that, I think of, you know, when we've seen a star who can literally take it from midfield all the way through a defense on the field, or on the pitch, sorry.
Uh-huh.
And yes, it's entertaining to see them make those moves, but they're also in a big, wide-open space where you like to see what they can do with all the space around them, especially when a couple defenders kind of close in and they find a way through because they use great footwork, you know.
Oh, you're an apologist for James right now?
No.
Listen, you can move the basketball.
In a basketball sense, I'm not.
You can move a basketball, and the whole reason there's passing and movement is to shift defenses until you find an opening. That you can do that in basketball. There are some teams that still do it, I think.
I'm saying it's more entertaining to watch that kind of superstar do it on a soccer pitch than it is on a basketball court.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Because you're much more likely to try to do that. If you're going to try to be that guy like James Harden was, you're going to get to the foul line a lot, which is boring basketball. On a soccer pitch, there's so much room. The athleticism and the creativity of the player with the ball comes into play, because it's how do you get out of this situation if the pass isn't there that you want, or you just have an ego and you think you're going to take it all the way.
All right, point taken. And I mean, listen, at the end of the day, the Rockets allowed James Harden to play the game this way. That's the way they went with it. So, listen, I don't profess to know enough about basketball, but if anybody wants to weigh in, 713-780-3776. I think there are some similar concepts to soccer, and that's, you know, if you do want to move and circulate the basketball amongst five players, you can create space for others. You can find an open man. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious stuff. All right, so let me get into something today. Athletic Bilbao today, 2-1 over Real Madrid to advance in the Spanish Super Cup. They'll play in the final. Really rough day for Lucas Vazquez, for you Madristas out there. A bad giveaway, then a missed, goes up and misses a header, and then fouls a guy in the penalty area. And Raul Garcia gets both the goals for Athletic Bilbao. Tough day for Lucas Vazquez. Athletic Bilbao will face Barcelona, who was somewhat fortunate in getting through themselves behind the great goalkeeping of Ter Stegen. They get by Real Sociedad in penalty kicks. Ricky Puch with the winning penalty kick. We are streaming at ESPN975.com. The show was always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So a big thank you to John and his firm. We appreciate all they do for this show. And, you know, the support that Daspit Law Firm has given this show is really getting our sport its due here in town. You know, I'm going to go to bat and say we're covering this game. We're taking the lead on it, and we're going to continue to take the lead on it. We're going to take the lead on it tonight with interviews with Jeff Cameron, with Dwayne De Rosario. I think everybody's going to love. There will be a little bit of a podcasty feel to that tonight. But you know, you think about the importance of this radio show being on the air for 17 years in Houston, you know, and really embedded here at ESPN 97.5 because of the fact that they believe in the sport of soccer at this station. You know, our diverse soccer community in Houston is off the charts. I mean, you know, whether it's the Asian community that loves the game, the Indian community that loves the game, the Nigerian community. I know you're expecting me to say, you know, all the Mexicans that are passionate about the game. These are all possibilities. These people are all fully invested in this sport, and we've got to reach them and get out to them as much as we possibly can. Liverpool and Manchester United on Sunday, that's a big one. The only problem is I think it's only on this new Peacock. So it's not going to be on the main NBC. That is a bummer. Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's top of the table, Manchester United, for those of you out there. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Copa Sudamericana is going on right now. Coquimbo of Chile and Defensa and Justicia from Argentina, and coached by Hernan Crespo, the former great striker for Parma in the Italian Serie A. So I will tell you, the coverage and watching the Copa Libertadores, the Copa Sudamericana, there is just a different level of football here. The thing that is interesting here is these teams are built up of their country's nationals. So last night when Santos of Brazil took on Boca Juniors, and by the way, they beat them handily. They beat them 3-0. Boca Juniors imploded. And you know, everybody was kind of pulling for Boca Juniors in a way because of Maradona's passing and the other things that have gone on. But Santos was the deserved winner, the better team. And, you know, you're talking about teams that the majority of their roster for Santos is Brazilian. The majority of the roster for Boca Juniors is Argentine. So it's almost like two national teams playing. It's totally different. The rosters aren't made up of players from all over the place. They're all representative of the country that their league is in and their club is in. And it leads to a different feel. And if you don't have BN Sport, unfortunately, you don't get to see this. But I'll tell you, there's a way for you to get BN Sport and watch the Copa Libertadores and the Copa Sudamericana. It is excellent stuff. It is excellent stuff. And the amount of talent down in South America is off the charts. And as you know, the Dynamo have gotten players from South America. Austin FC is doing it up the road now with a couple of players from a Paraguayan club, including Cecilio Dominguez, Rodney Redis, called Guarani. So pretty interesting stuff going on there. By the way, Kiki Struna, the Dynamo center back, in the news. Rumored to be headed back to Italy and Crotone. I put that out on Twitter. So here's my thought on Kiki Struna. Remember, he was brought in to be the leader of the team. Didn't really, maybe the first year gave us that a little bit, in a deeper defending Wilmer Cabrera team. But the minute Tab Ramos comes, the tactics change. And this is a center back that's going to be exposed. I think you could see this was going to happen. Because in this system now, and you've heard Tab Ramos say it, you've heard me say it, you've heard a lot of people say it. It's a given. When you play a pressing game, you will get breached, and you have to have defenders who in the open field can defend. It means they have to be pretty athletic. Or they have to be just off the charts readers of the game and have to be off the charts when it comes to their positional starting points as a center back. So you're going to have what we hope is an announcement next week. We heard Tab Ramos on Tuesday. This is our second show of the week here. Mentioned that he was hoping to have a center back signed that will be that leader type guy. And that will be a guy that will add some additional athleticism to the back. It's needed. It's needed in midfield as well. I'm still wondering where the next sort of number nine is going to come to, kind of join Christian Ramirez as a striker. We know Ari Lassiter can do it as well. If you have any thoughts on the Dynamo, 713-780-3776. There is a lot of things going on. But one thing that is vivid, Tab Ramos has been clear. team has to get more athletic. We need help on in every area of the team, center back. I'm wondering if there'll be another central midfielder. I'm hoping to get Tab back on again next week because I think his communication and his conversations really give a lot of information to the fan base, which I think is super important. That sort of communication from the leader of the team. And it adds to interest. It adds to people wanting to listen to the coach. And frankly, for the coach, it's a tremendous place and platform for messaging. It's a tremendous place also to send subtle messages to your team. So George Thorogood is going to take us to break here. We're going to come back. We're going to start getting into our interviews tonight. The next guest on the show will be Dwayne De Rosario. I am going to ask Dwayne a number of different things, including why he left the Houston Dynamo back in the day, because I remember how upset the fan base was after winning two titles. I believe if Dwayne De Rosario stayed in Houston, we would have won a third MLS Cup. That's going back. But Dwayne's got a lot going on now, working with young players. He's got a biography coming out about his career. And I want you to know this before we do this interview. Dwayne De Rosario had a lot of ups, right? Incredible success. 7 times an All-Star, 6 times MLS Best 11, 2-time MLS Cup MVP, 4 MLS Cups. I mean, on and on we can go. This guy had challenges. He had challenges he could have walked away from, and he didn't. And he kept coming back, and it's led to this amazing career. He's also going to talk about an opportunity to play at Celtic in Scotland and Blackburn that kind of got nixed and blocked. So this is going to be a good interview. Dwayne De Rosario coming up after the break. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual, and don't forget to support them when you've got trouble. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You might get in some kind of a car accident, work, refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. Dwayne De Rosario next.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here on a Thursday, our second show this week, so thanks for all of you tuning in here tonight. This segment of the show brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Look, they're bilingual. They work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. John Daspit and his firm, personal injury attorneys, and they have helped get soccer on the airwaves. The next guest, legendary in Major League Soccer, and I want to just whip off a couple of things here before I introduce him. He is a 4-time MLS Cup champion, 2011 league MVP, 7-time All-Star, 6 times Best 11, won the 2000 CONCACAF Gold Cup, 17 years with his national team, and is their all-time leading goal scorer. And he is a guy we all know here in Houston very well because he helped lead the Dynamo to 2 MLS Cups. He is Dwayne De Rosario. Dwayne, thank you for coming on the show. A lot of the fans and listeners really looking forward to this.
Thank you, Glenn. You know, it's always been a pleasure. Nice to know you're still doing your thing. And it's always nice seeing you guys and getting that reconnection to Houston again.
So, look, when I do interviews, I like to do a lot of research on people. Now, I could have walked in here today and done a Dwayne De Rosario interview without any preparation, okay? I have seen the magic you've produced. I've seen the results, the things you've done on the field. But I spent a lot of time looking at your career, and I want to chronologically hit a couple of key moments here and kind of get some of your takes on these. And some of these will be peaks and valleys based on this amazing career you had. So I'm going to start with this one. You're 14 years old and you get invited to AC Milan. How did that happen?
Growing up in a community, I grew up in Scarborough. I played with a local team there, Malvern Magic. We had a very good team. We had a game and someone identified my talent that had some connections in Italy. And it was kind of one of those things at the right place at the right time. And they said, hey, you know, we have a connection with AC Milan. Would you be interested in potentially having a tryout there? Of course, I didn't think twice about it. Obviously, at the time, AC Milan was was massive. You know, we're talking about the likes of George Weah. They just signed Edgar Davids, Desailly, of course, Maldini, Borresi. So all the big stars were there, Baggio. And I decided to take the opportunity. Of course, I didn't have the finances to fund the trip. And a family said, you know, we'll fund it for you to go have this opportunity. And yeah, so that's how that kind of stemmed.
So 2000, you're playing for the Richmond Kickers, and I remember that time period. Tell me how important that period was in your career.
Well, I think it was important not only in my career but in my life. It was a time where I just came back from Germany. It didn't go the way I've kind of planned it. I was kind of sitting in limbo here in Toronto. I picked up a job at a health food store, but it wasn't me. You know, it wasn't. I lasted maybe about a month, and I said, you know what? I wasn't happy with the direction I was going. I was going back to a little bit of my old street ways, and I said, you know what? I got to really go after this. I got to really put my focus into this sport and go after it. I didn't really want to play in Canada. I had interest from Montreal Impact. I had a little stint with the Lynx before I went to Germany, and Richmond Kickers came and offered an opportunity to go out there and have a try with the team. And of course, when I went out there, you know, I had guys like Anandy Lowe, Marco Ferruzzi, Gary Glasgow, Gregory Messam, you know, guys that just finished playing at the World Cup for Jamaica, U.S. internationals. And I was like, wow, I was very impressed with the level and the professionalism of the way they handled the club. And from when I went there, they were interested, and I said, you know what, I'll sign. One of the big reasons was their affiliation with DC United to hopefully get into the MLS, and everything after that was pretty much history.
Speaking of Duane De Rosario, the Houston Dynamo legend, Major League Soccer legend, let's just say that. So you get to San Jose eventually, and you're not starting, you're coming off the bench, and you're a very dangerous guy, obviously, coming off the bench. But just tell me about that time in San Jose, and then you really earmark yourself with that memorable, and I mean, I can see it right now, everybody piling on you when you scored that goal after coming on to win the MLS Cup that year. Just kind of tell me about the evolution in San Jose and not being a starter right away, and then ultimately getting there.
Yeah, well, it was actually supposed to be DC United. A lot of people didn't know that. Frank Yallop was with Thomas Rongen at DC United as the head coaches. And Frank got the head coaching job at San Jose. And during that time period, we're in El Salvador. We're just coming back. And Frank's like, hey, listen, I potentially have an opportunity with a club in MLS. I can't say who it is, but I would love for you to come with me. And I said, Frank, you know, I mean, I know you from the national team. I played with you. Of course, you got my word. He goes, listen, I know DC United is very high on you. They want to sign you, but just bear some time. Came back to Toronto. My wife at the time, she was pregnant with my our firstborn son. And Frank called. I found out you got the head coach job. He called me right away and says, you know, do you want to come to San Jose? And I said, 100%. If you're coaching, I definitely want to be a part of it. He goes, well, I didn't know about the draft, the whole draft concept and stuff like that. So he goes, I'm going to sign you before the draft, but I still want you to come down to see kind of MLS and you know, how everything is kind of operates and functions. So I went down to Florida at the time where the draft was, and we went right into preseason with the team. You know, at the time, they just signed this young phenomenon, Landon Donovan. So we had myself, Landon, we had Ronald Cerritos, who was obviously a well-known player in the league at the time. A lot of people didn't know much of me in North America, so I was out there to prove myself. And thankfully, Frank gave me the trust. He put the trust into me to allow me those minutes to prove myself. And I think I made his job a living nightmare, as he would say, because every time he gave me a 5-10 minutes, I had one thing in my mind, and that was to create goal-scoring opportunities or to score goals, and that's what I tried to do.
You did it in the MLS Cup final. That was a memorable golden goal. So then Landon Donovan in 2005 moves to the LA Galaxy. Duane De Rosario gets pulled a little deeper into midfield now. This is a big moment in your career, right? What happens here, and how does this change your perspective of the game? Because in year one as a center midfielder, you know, you lead the league in assists, but something really clicks here. What is it?
Well, actually, you know what? 2003 was supposed to be my breakout year as a starter, but I was plagued with injuries. Right foot national team, I fractured my fifth metatarsal. My first game back, Frank gave me some spot duty, 50 minutes. We're playing San Jose State. I volleyed from top to box, scored. It was actually a fantastic goal. And then I found out that I tore my LCL because a defender, you know, tackled me while I scored and tore my LCL and took me out for 6 months. So that was a huge setback. But yes, definitely in 05 when Landon left the team and you know, Dominic was the head coach and he was kind of tinkering with things a bit. We had a discussion and said, you know what, Dom's like, you know, how do you think about playing in midfield? Because I would tend to drift into the midfield to get the ball because I always loved being on the ball. I love creating, like I said, I always love creating goal scoring opportunities or scoring goals. And I wasn't afraid to shoot from distance. We played me in the midfield a couple of preseason games and the rest was history. And we had a great relationship with Brian Ching up front. And, you know, it was a great understanding, you know, as a target man. And I would kind of feed off of him and his movement and, you know, when he would control the ball to make my runs. And we had a really great connection with Ricardo Clark filling up behind me in the defensive midfielder role.
It was something special to watch. And obviously, Dominic was trying to figure out a way to make sure all his best players were on the field, I'm assuming.
Right.
But your versatility is something remarkable. So, you know, look, up to this point, you've had a lot of hardship, whether it's injury, whether it's up and down. I mean, you got a lot of pressure on you. You're building a family. You got all these things. Where did the internal, you know, fortitude come from? Because a lot of people might have walked away from professional soccer at that point. Where does it come from? Where'd you get it?
Yeah, just from watching my father, who was a single dad at the time, my aunt who took us in like a mother, you know, just watching how they conduct themselves. You know, my parents left Guyana very young, got married very young, had kids young, watching them go through their transitions, growing up in metro housing, you know, living with my aunt, watching her struggle. She never had kids of her own, and she took us in to raise us. All those things motivated me and inspired me to want to, you know, to achieve more and to help my family out. You know, it was really I left school at grade 10, more so as a financial decision to help my family, you know, financially. And because I knew I had an ability, I seen people investing in my talent, as you mentioned, to go to AC Milan. And, you know, I went to very fortunate to go to Olympic Marseille, Barcelona, Tel Aviv, and just things didn't in line at the right time. I mean, hey, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities that kids could say they had the opportunity to go to these places and share these stories. You know, I went to Barcelona right when they signed the phenomenon, Ronaldo, and I seen him play his first two games, and it was the biggest transfer fee in the world at the time. And Barcelona,
that's when he came from PSV, right?
Correct. Yeah. And Barcelona invested all the resources. And I was at the Barcelona camp, La Mesa, with the youth academy training there. And that was big news. I was actually in Barcelona. Wow. When all this folded. And I was seeing Ronaldo come in from the airport, and the media and the hype and the city. And it was just, you know, I didn't get this in Toronto. You know, it's a very hockey-driven culture over here. But what's funny to note is that, you know, in the inner cities, in metro housing communities, soccer was a sport. It was soccer, basketball. A lot of kids were playing hockey because not a lot of us had the access and the resources to play that. So I followed my dad's passion. And I think that passion and that love and that hunger and growing up in these environments helped me to withstand trials and tribulations. And a wise man once told me, where much is given, much is required. And I was very fortunate to see the world and be blessed with a talent to see the world. And I want to continue on my mission to give back.
Dwayne, you've got all these beautiful platforms that you've built beautifully through determination, hard work, ability, all these things. And I know you're working with a lot of young soccer players right now. How do you impart the message that disappointment is a part of growth and development, and these things will make you better if you use them effectively?
100%. I mean, you know, setbacks and injuries and you know, coaches not starting you or maybe not seeing the potential, or you going to a club and it doesn't work out. I've been through all these challenges, agents that you know, that want to negotiate deals behind your back, and you find out and things don't go. So there's so many different intricacies within being a professional athlete that you have to learn how to embrace those as not negative, but more learning and positive opportunities. Our transition from San Jose to Houston, our whole team getting relocated. We didn't sulk about it. We, of course, at the time we were mad at me. It's tough to leave San Jose in mountains and beautiful weather to say you're going to Houston flat. And, you know, but we all rallied around and we all embraced the challenge and said, okay, you know what? Let's show them what we're made of. I was very fortunate to play with players that had very like-minded mentality. And I think Dominic Kinnear had done a great job of finding these players with the right mentality and the right attitudes that are able to handle diversity and able to handle, you know, tough moments. If I look across the roster at that time, our team was so strong. I really think that we could really compete for an MLS Cup if you put that same team together in this moment. You know, obviously with not our age, but, you know, with the same potential. And just really embrace the challenge and taking every opportunity and try to channel it as a positive and a learning opportunity more so than a negative opportunity.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up about the character of the 6 and 7 championship teams and what you mentioned there with Dominic, because we go back to that so often, because we say to ourselves now, you know, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, who is the leader of this team since Brad Davis departed? And, you know, you look at that team and the way you answered that is amazing, because everybody was so accountable. And it really wasn't like a designated captain or leader, right? All you guys held each other in check based on the type of character Dominic picked. Is that fair to say?
100%. And it started in our 5v2s. Our simple 5v2s were intense. I mean, you were out there sometimes. Yeah. Like, man,
I saw a lot of things out there that I never told people about. But, yeah, I definitely saw some intensity.
Yeah, there was fighting. It was nasty at times. But it made us stronger. And it's hard to find a group of guys that is so committed like that, you know, with that resilience and with that mentality to be all leaders. You know, I got called out many times. I called guys out many times, and no guy was bigger than the team. And we all played for one thing, and that was to win. No matter where we were, we go to Pachuca and tough environments in Mexico for CONCACAF, and we didn't play there to sit back and defend. We went at them, and we gained a lot of respect from those teams, because that's what MLS teams were doing at that time. They're going to Central America, try to battle a tie result, where Dom's like, no, we got goal scorers, we got a solid team, let's take it to them. And they were very shocked, you know. It was, I think we lost Pachuca one time 5-4 or 4-3 or something.
Incredible game.
Amazing, right? And don't do that in Mexico. You don't see those kind of results. And, you know, it was very special time in my career. And I was very proud of that team. We won championships. And don't forget, people talk about, you know, DPs come in the league. But, you know, you look at, you know, besides myself, you look at guys like Brian Ching. You look at Chris Wondolowski, leading goal scorer in MLS history. Kai Kamara was on that team. Jeff Cameron, who's now still in the EPL. Stuart Holden, who left and went to the EPL. We had a solid team.
Yeah, you know? No question about it. That was a tremendous group of men. We're talking to Dwayne De Rosario, who is tremendous reminiscing here. All right, so when you look at the league now, how much has it changed since you've been playing in it?
I mean, so much. I mean, when we were playing at that time, was it about 18 teams, maybe 9, 20 teams? Now it's what, 30 teams? I
mean, getting close. We're getting there. Yeah.
Every year there's like two more teams, new team. Yeah. This year another Cincinnati, I think, this year. So it's great to see. You know, it's great to see 2026 World Cup is coming to US again in Canada and Mexico. It's great to see the fan base is expanding. It's great to see soccer specific stadiums. It's great to see Houston soccer specific stadium. I wish we had that when we were there, but you know, it was all a build towards what we're seeing now. And to be a part of this history and to be a part of the growth of culture and across North America, it's fantastic. It's amazing to see how much it's expanded and how much it's grown. And the respect that it's gotten, not only in North America, but globally now.
Great stuff there. First segment with Dwayne De Rosario. We're going to come back with the second one. I'm going to remind you, Manchester United and Liverpool are playing this Sunday on the Peacock Network. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, the Marquee Entertainment Center. Ian Veery is going to join us from the Liverpool Supporters Group. We're going to talk and preview that game a little bit. But not until we come back with one more segment with the great Dwayne De Rosario. And in this segment, I will talk to him and ask him about the reason he left the Houston Dynamo back in the day, because I still contest that if he had stuck around, you win another MLS Cup. Glenn Davis here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Another segment with the legendary Dwayne De Rosario coming up.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Absolutely love that opening riff. Mick Taylor, Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers, Can't You Hear Me Knocking, Throw Me Down the Keys. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Sorry, lost my mind there for a little bit. All right, let's get right back into, with this intro, to part two with Dwayne De Rosario. How about from the competitive side? What you see on the field now, we're seeing a lot of younger South Americans, which is different than in your day. What do you see from the actual style of play now and some of the things from the competitive side?
Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, there is a lot of youth, which is good. You always need to make way for the young players. I think there's a lot more athletes today. I think when we were playing, it was a more football minds and a lot more physical game. Obviously, with video and stuff like that, a lot of things you can't get away with. We used to do back in the days, but you know, I think the future of the sport is bright. I think the future of MLS is bright, and it's only going to get bigger. As I said, once 2026 comes around. Everyone knows I'm an ambassador for Toronto FC, but I got to be honest, I'm not too happy with the direction of the Dynamo at the moment, of the history of being a part of it. And I would love to see them again competing for, at least in the playoffs and competing for a championship, because it's a city that has such a great soccer culture. And I hope they figure out the right recipe to get back to that.
You know, Dwayne, it's interesting that you were bold and confident on the field and bold and confident to say that, because I don't think everybody would say that. I find it incredibly refreshing that somebody who is such a big part of the history of the Dynamo here, and look, we had professional soccer back into the 60s, so it's a prideful city. Yeah. Toronto goes way, way back with Toronto Metros, Croatia, and the NASL. I mean, there's such amazing history. And I think people are going to appreciate that you have said that, because – your words are very, very powerful. Has it pained you to watch the Dynamo really struggle and to see the relevancy lost here, which is now trying to be reclaimed?
Yeah, it has, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I still have a lot of love for H-Town. I still have a lot of love for the organization. And, you know, to go in the stadium and see my face in the stadium and to know that I have a history and it's being embraced by not only the management, by the community as well. You know, I still have, you know, a huge following on my social media outlets, you know, and people saying, hey, you know, Diego, we need you back in Houston. And
I get a lot of that on behalf of you too. A lot of people, you know, call the show and mention your name, and you know, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just passionate. When I played in Houston, I left it all on the field, every day of training, every day, every game. I left everything. I gave everything. And you know, it was tough to leave at a time, and it's even tougher now looking at seeing the state that the Dynamo is in right now. But I'm hoping with the new branding brings new life, brings new energy, and brings a different frame of mind. And if we could somehow capture that 06, 07, 08 mentality, I think they'll be fine.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Dwayne, what could we have done to have kept you here? You know, because I don't know the full story. I'm going to put it out to you because I think I need to for my listeners. Because if I don't ask this question, they're going to go, why should I listen to this guy's radio show, right? So tell us about when you left, because to me that was a sad day, because I still saw more cups being lifted by Dwayne De Rosario with his teammates as such an important focal point to the team. I mean, you stirred the drink.
Yeah, it was a collective, collection of things. One being, of course, I was pushing for a higher pay. You know, I think I deserved it. I think I was, after that MLS Cup, I'm like, Dom, I don't know what else you guys want me to do, man. Like, it's like, I'm bringing it every year. It's time now that, even though I'm a local guy, I still should, like, where's the respect? Like, I'm seeing other guys come in the league that aren't doing half of what I'm doing, and they're making ridiculous amount of money. So that was one. And obviously the opportunity that TFC was willing to step up and offer me that. And I met with Dom a few times, and bless his heart, he was like, it's tough. I don't think I could replace a guy like you. And I'm like, I understand, Dom, but if the management is not willing to step up to the plate, and my hometown is, wouldn't you do the same thing? He's like, it was hard for him to say no. And we had a very candid, a very man-to-man conversation about it. And, I love Dom and respect Dom up to this day, because he always dealt with me as honest and straightforward. Always looked me in the eye and said yes or said no or gave me shit when he needed to. And we would go head-to-head. But at least I know he was passionate and he really appreciated what I had done for not only him but for the organization in San Jose and Houston. He really wanted me to stay, but the opportunity came where Toronto was willing to step up to the plate. I wanted to be a part of my hometown. I didn't expect it to be so early in my career, but due to the situation, I said, I got to make this move.
Yeah, fascinating. I mean, look, this is the part of the history of Dwayne De Rosario, and you're right on when you talk about Dom's intensity and passion, and that is something you have to love about a manager, and you had it too. That free kick. I mean, 2 years in a row, you won the MLS Goal of the Year. The one you hit against LA, just kind of take me through that and just how you hit that. Was there any specific thing going on in your mind, or is it just I'm hitting it, or am I coming around the outside of the ball a little bit? Where you hit it? Just talk, because the movement in that is incredible. That's as good a free kick as I've ever seen in the game of soccer, quite frankly, with all due respect to Roberto Carlos.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's funny, leading up to that, we had a very open training environment, in the sense of after training, we could stay behind and work on whatever we wanted to work on for however long we could work on within respect. And so after training, we're doing free kicks, and I hit one exactly similar to that free kick. And I said, wow, I really liked the way that felt. And I kept doing it for maybe about 2 weeks, kept trying to hit it. And I said, that was the last game of the season, by the way, against LA. And of course, it's LA. It's our rivalry. And I said, I'm going to hit this free kick. And the players knew, because they see me hitting that. We were doing free kicks back to back to back to back to back.
Were you getting that kind of movement out of it when you were hitting these in training?
A couple times I was.
And was this because you're coming around the outside of the ball a bit?
Correct. And I was swinging my hip last minute, and I said, I want to make sure I hit the ball in the exact same spot. And so when I set the ball up, I always set the ball up in a certain way where there's a position in the ball that I want to hit it all the time, and just hit at the right time, at the right place, and in LA, and just it came off the way it did.
It was unbelievable. And it reminded me, which was the World Cup when everybody was talking about the balls, and the balls were doing all these crazy things, right?
That made the ball a little lighter, yeah.
The mystical flight of that hit and that power. I mean, I watched it again, and I posted it, by the way, for all of you listening in tonight. It's up on Facebook Soccer Matters. You can go back and look at Dwayne's goal. And when you see it from behind him, it's off the charts crazy. You don't even believe a ball can move like that.
I'm either taking Kobe Jones' head off or... Yeah.
I haven't heard Kobe talk much about being in that wall, by the way.
Yeah.
Talking to Dwayne De Rosario here, just amazing stuff. What's that?
I said a gentleman who I have a lot of respect for, by the way.
Yeah, no, we all do. Kobe Jones, one of the greats of Major League Soccer. All right, we're getting down to winding this down, but in 2007, the MLS Cup, you don't have Brian Ching. Joseph Ngwenya in the starting lineup. You get the assist to Joseph, the comeback. You get the game winner. Another great day at RFK Stadium. That was an amazing day, and you carried the team to the title that day. Any reflection on that title in D.C.?
Oh, man, there's lots. Don't forget, we're also without Ricardo Clark.
Yep. Yeah, two keys.
2 years in a row, right? And so, yeah, we're missing some major, major keys. That was the spine of our team. I mean, Brian Ching up top and Ricardo Clark in the middle. You know, that's a huge shoes to fill. But, you know, again, with our resentlessness, with our mentality, we embraced it. I knew those guys were out, and I knew a lot of that responsibility was lied on myself. As you mentioned, Joseph Ngwenya came in, had a fantastic game, and, you know, got us back. First, he whiffed the ball, and then somehow right back to his feet. Call it destiny, call it whatever. But, you know, his resilientness, his focus in staying engaged in the play allowed him to get to that second ball and score that goal. And then, of course, Brad Davis does what he does best, and, you know, his service is impeccable, and played a ball into the box to my head, and I just was in the moment. You know, when you're in the moment, you go with the moment, and the snap header and winning that back-to-back was an unbelievable, unbelievable experience on so many levels. One, because my aunt was elderly. She was passing away. She actually passed away December 25th, right after that cup.
Oh, wow.
So there's so much weighing on my mind around that time. This lady who brought my brothers in and raised me as a mother and raised me as her very own. Raised my dad, who took care of my dad and my mom when they first came from Guyana to the country. So there's just a huge, huge burden on the whole family when she was passing. And I just wanted to do something special for her. And it just worked out in the way accordingly. And, you know, I fell for New England. I can't lie. To lose back-to-back is devastating. But it's a better feeling on the winning end than definitely on the losing end. And, again, to bring another championship to a city like Houston that's embraced us was amazing.
Two straight years in a row, and Brad Davis. Dwayne De Rosario, it has been an amazing career. I hear you go back to work and intensity and competing. But there's an entertainer in you too, isn't there? I mean, you got to tell me yes here, because if you don't tell me there's an entertainer in you, then I think it's organic.
Yeah. No, I love entertainment. I love the bright lights. I love that moment. That's why I don't know how these guys are doing it right now with no fans or anything like that. But, you know, I live for those moments. I live for that energy. I live for that, you know, when you go into the stands and other fans are cheering against you or for you. Those are the moments I think all the athletes play for. You know, sold out stadiums, high packed energy, intensity, MLS Cup moments. And I love those moments.
I think a lot of people bought tickets because they'd go to that game. They knew how good this team was under Dominic Kinnear, but they also knew at any moment in any game, they could see something very unpredictable and different from Dwayne De Rosario. How important is it for teams to have these types of players like yourself?
I think it's very important because, like you said, the fans want to see. Yeah, they come to see their team win, but they also come to see the excitement. They also come to see the entertainment. They come to see the flair. They come to see a player expressing themselves and not so rigid and square. And I think, you know, a lot of people talk about German style of play and how it's very rigid, but I don't know how they can say that when you watch a team like Bayern Munich. They stay within their respective positions, but they're very free to express themselves within those positions. And once you can understand that balance and capitalize on that balance and appreciate that balance, then you have a product that they've proven on an international, on a world level. And that's something that I really admire, and that's something that I think is entertaining football.
Well, Dwayne, listen, I've taken enough of your time. I got another year then to call you, so I call you in another year and bring you back. We'll do the sequel to this. This has been a really fascinating interview. You were not only a fascinating player, but a fascinating person that's very candid, very honest, that makes an amazing interview here. And I know all my listeners here have enjoyed this tonight, catching up with you. Thank you so much. Continued success with all the work you're doing for others as well.
I appreciate that, Glenn, and thank you again for your support. And it's always good seeing you behind that microphone. So all the best to you guys and all the best to Houston Dynamo for 2021.
Thank you, Dwayne. All right, we'll take a break. I don't know how I'm going to continue to do this show after that because you can't top that. But that was Dwayne De Rosario, formerly of the Houston Dynamo, one of the legends of Major League Soccer and Canadian soccer. What an interview that was. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5.